The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and this is the Crossman Conversation. And before we get started, I got a quick story, Mike.
Hey, okay? I'm ready.
So, you know, Mike, you obviously were crucial to us launching the Crossman Conversation, and you actually do all the hard work that actually makes it happen every single week. So thank you for that.
And you're welcome.
When we talked about this, we really wanted to make this a show where we could have conversations on hard topics. And I'm a Christian, and I mean, disclosure, I'm a conservative Christian at that. A lot of our guests are not, and that's good because we're trying to have conversations, right? We're trying to dig into these hard topics and hopefully listen. And hopefully what I would love to know is that our listeners, whether they're Christians or not, if they're Republicans or Democrats, can really hear and focus on solutions. And so that's what we really tried to do. And I feel like so many times after we've finished interviews, you and I have looked at each other like, wow, that was really amazing. Because it was a conversation you don't often have between maybe a conservative and someone who's not a conservative, but it's a loving, respectful conversation, and we've got some meat. You would agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely.
We have felt good about that. So today's episode is just a little bit different because it's an interview with myself and U.S. Senator Rick Scott, and so we had him on the show, and we're going to play this interview in just a few minutes. And you know what I'm hoping is, when people listen to this, is that for some people, Senator Scott can be kind of polarizing. There are people I meet that really love him, and some people have very, very harsh feelings about him. And what I would want to say as an introduction to this segment is, you know, when we have elected officials, the President of the United States is the president for all of us, right? And we certainly, it's our right, and we're good Americans. We disagree with our leaders, and we do things respectfully. I can remember I was in a small group meeting with former Governor Jeb Bush, and it was right during the time when Trump was getting the nomination. People thought Trump might win. And then a small group, somebody asked, like, gosh, you know, how do you feel about, you know, President Trump? And of course, you know, at that time there had been some negative words between, you know, then Mr. Trump and the Bush family, things like that. And Jeb Bush answered that question so well because he said, listen to me, I feel called to pray for our president every single day. He said, I prayed for President Obama every single day. I prayed for my brother every single day. And should Donald Trump win, I will pray for President Trump every single day. And I just really felt great about that. Mm-hmm. And so this interview that we have, we're going to play in a few minutes here with myself and Senator Scott, who is a friend of mine, is someone I've done work with, and I'm very grateful for friendship. What I hope is people will find is really trying to listen to this interview from the perspective of just listening to one of our U.S. senators talking, right?
Right.
And you know, in this interview, we talk about bridge building. We talk about him learning to speak fluent Spanish and really connecting to people.
Which is so impressive. I mean, when you hear him talk, I mean, he's good.
Like I make the reference there. I'm still working on English, Mike. It would be very difficult. But, you know, think about his humility in saying, I'm going to learn this language and speak in this language because many people who he serves, that's their primary language. I respect that. And we talk about Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, one of our greatest all-time Floridians. And I told somebody that we did this interview and I talked to him about Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. And My friend said, well, did he know who she was? And I was like, yes, he knows, absolutely has high respect for her. And then we just talk about, you know, ways of trying to find ways to work together. And I asked him, my favorite question I asked him, I told my friends, I said this, didn't believe me. I said, I do ask him, how does he feel about being called Voldemort? You know, which I wanted to ask him that about how leaders take, you know, criticism. And I think he just did a super job. And so I hope people will listen to this interview with an open mind. I'm not trying to say become a Rick Scott fan. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say, listen to this interview and take from it that you can love a person and take some from this, or you could disagree with them and you can still take away things from this interview. So
that's what I love about you, John, is that you have this ability and this capability. because you know people on, like you said, both sides of issues, both sides of the aisles politically. And the name of your show is actually The Crosswind Conversation. And the only way we can come together, and, you know, there was a time in America where you could feel differently politically about something and still be nice, maybe play golf or have dinner with someone that's across the aisle. The things that we see and hear and feel today in the political world is just so polarizing that there is hatred. You feel like the vitriol is at an all-time high, and it really shouldn't be.
Well, so, that's what we hope to accomplish today. What I hope is that, you know, if somebody is disagreeing with U.S. Senator Scott, they still can. But one of the things he says is that if you do disagree with him, contact his office.
That's right.
And he asks for feedback. So let's be those people that let's respect people in authority. Right. Let's the position, not the person.
I agree, man.
And then let's try to find ways that we can try to create some common ground. So hopefully I hope this will be a healthy interview that people will gain from on both sides of the aisle. That's what we're trying to do today. So a special episode of the Crosswind Conversation with myself and U.S. Senator Rick Scott coming up right now. Senator Scott, thank you so much for being here with us on the Crosswind Conversation.
It's great to be with you and congratulations on your success.
Thank you, sir, so much. Well, you know, Senator, there's a lot of past, you know, history you and I have together. And one of my favorite ones is, you know, you recall my dad was a pastor and civil rights leader, and he got the nickname as the bridge builder. And you, when you were governor with support from both parties, named an actual bridge after my dad. And thank you so much for doing that.
You know, we've got to figure out how to work together to build a better country so we can build better families. If we all think about it, we all have the same goals. We want to be self-sufficient. We want our children, which is our future, to get a great education. We want to live in safe places. And so you got to figure out how to do that together. That's what I try to do every day.
Well, you know, you brought a lot of people together that day. I'm so thankful for it. And do you have advice for me and other people who are like, you know, Senator, I agree with you. I want to do more. And I might personally be very conservative and my neighbor might be very, you know, opposite political view, but I want to make my community better. What can I do to be a bridge builder in my own community? What advice do you have about that?
You know, what I believe is you ought to try to meet everybody you can and go talk to them and listen. You know, listen, I mean, we're all dealing with similar issues, right? So just listen to get people's ideas and then do whatever you can to help everybody. You know, I've been blessed. I was born to a single mom, lived in public housing growing up. And I grew up in a country that you could be anything. And what we got to do is figure out every day, how do we make sure this is the country, this is the state, this is the city, this is the county, that's true. Everybody should have that opportunity. So we've got to, just every day. And what if you can help somebody get ahead, help them. I mean, that's what's great about being governor and being a senator. And I enjoyed my business life before that, because actually what you're doing every day is just connecting people, helping people. So I like solving problems, it's fun. That's what I do for a living.
Well, it's awesome. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, Senator, you speak Spanish. Like, I'm still working on English. I'm still working on one language. At what age did you add speaking Spanish to your skill set?
So here's what happens. You know, in America, you only take a language during school. But I took Spanish growing up, but you never learn it. I mean, you learn what it is to take the test and stuff like that. So here's what I decided after I became governor. I said, you know, I live in a state that we have a significant number of Spanish speakers, and so I'm going to do as much of my communication both in English and Spanish as I can. So what I did is I started practicing Spanish every day. I had a lot of Spanish speakers that work with me because, you know, I made sure our government was a melting pot, people from all over. And I started doing it and I practice it every day. I think this week I did 5 interviews in Spanish, and I practice every day. I have a Hispanic press secretary. I've had a Hispanic press secretary since I became governor. And I just work at it every day. Am I perfect? No, but yo practico español todos los días. Es muy importante por 20% de personas en nuestro estado. I mean, it's important to people because you're respecting them when you're talking to them.
That's totally amazing. I mean, it's so intentional. And I'm looking at Mike, my producer. Mike, I'm telling you, I was standing right beside him, and he was taking Q&A, and I was at an event. And then all of a sudden, like, he got a question in Spanish. He answered in Spanish. I looked at him like, man, is he talking in tongues? He's speaking Spanish. Like, it's amazing. And it's so, isn't that cool, Mike?
Oh, it's so fun. Amazing.
It's
yes.
fun. I, you know, it's fun because I like people, and people are excited when you put effort into speaking their language.
Well, and yeah. So. It's a very cool thing. I want to jump over to a really important topic near and dear to my heart, and I want to talk about Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. And you and I actually were together at an event.
Boy, what she did was impressive.
Right, right. And so you and I were at an event together one time at Bethune-Cookman, and you've been yep. good, and I'm a trustee there now, and I wouldn't be a trustee at Bethune-Cookman if I hadn't had your support being a trustee of Valencia, and you helped me in that path, and I'm so thankful. And so her story, I think she's more impressive than Flagler or Disney when you think about her. And the U.S. Capitol coming up in just a few weeks or so.
I know.
You know, we're going to have a thing. And so tell me your thoughts as one of the most important leaders of our state. Tell me your thoughts about Mary McLeod Bethune.
Well, just, you know, what you have to respect and admire is people that said, okay, there's a problem. And they didn't say, oh, I hope somebody else solves that problem. So young African-American women were not getting the education they should have. So she just took it into her own hands and started it. Did she have a lot of money? No. She didn't have a lot of money, but she said, I'm going to figure this out, and she did it. And because, you know, if you, in America, you can get ahead by working hard, but it's very hard to get ahead if you don't have a good education.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was committed to African-Americans getting a great education. And she changed people's lives. When you get somebody a good education, that's why I put so much time into making sure that parents are involved in their kids' education and they get to choose the right thing for their child, because all their children or all of our children, our grandchildren are different. It changes people's lives. But people that are just so committed to somebody else's success are just so impressive. And that's exactly what she did. So her statue will be in the U.S. Capitol soon, and I look forward to being there.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. I have one question. I have a little bit of fear in asking this question, so give me a little grace, okay, Senator, a little bit of grace, because I really want to ask this. You know, when I look at you and all the stuff you've done, and I'm so impressed with you, you've taken a lot of risk, and the other side of that is people can be really mean and critical of you, right? And I think of, like, a lot of people don't want to get into politics because it'd be so, they need to be thick skinned and it's hard. Like, you know, whenever I, sometimes I'll retweet something you tweet, or I'll post something about you, and people will be like, how do you like Voldemort? They'll say that. Like, and I'm like, that's really a mean thing to say. I mean, you could disagree with this politics, but people can be very personally attacking. Just as a human, as a leader, how do you, as a Christian man, how do you deal with that? How do you handle those arrows that are just so, can be evil intended?
Well, first thing I always think is, what would their mom think of them, right? Because we all sort of work for our moms, right?
Right.
I always think, because you don't ever want to embarrass your parents, right? So I always think sometimes is that, who taught them to do this, right? But the other thing is, you know, you've got to, and the truth is whether it's in politics or whether it's in business or whatever you do as a parent, I mean, you've got to say, I'm going to do the right thing, whether everybody agrees with me or not. I'll do my best to explain why I'm doing it. But you know what my experience has been? When I started businesses, people said, well, you're not going to be successful. You don't have any money. You don't have enough expertise, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, you just work hard every day and you get better every day. And in this job, you know, I know what my purpose is, and I'm very clear about what I'm trying to do. And as a matter of fact, I put out a plan of how I want to rescue the country. And then I tell people, look, it doesn't have to be my ideas. I mean, this is representative government. Give me your ideas. And if you have a better idea, I'll do your idea. But I am going to do the things that I think are going to help people get a good job, make sure their children have the best education possible so they can get ahead, and help them live in a safe neighborhood. And I think if you always focus on the end result, it doesn't bother you. You just go on. You have to be very comfortable with what you're, what you believe in. And but think about it. People that make change, whether it's whether, you know, whoever it is, maybe anybody in the Bible, anybody in business, anybody in politics, I mean, there's lots of arrows in it. But, you know, if we allow the naysayers to control, the haters control, then it's not going to be a very great place for your kids or my kids. And if every, here's the way, you know, the other way I think about it, I want everybody's child to have a chance. I love going to schools and telling kids, hey, look, I grew up in public housing. But some of them did. I don't even know my dad. Never my dad. And some of them didn't know it. And then I excite them about how they could become governor, you know. And you know, it always ends up, you got to study hard and work hard.
Right.
If you do both those things, there's no guarantees, but the odds are pretty good for you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with U.S. Senator Rick Scott.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.com. That's frontier-partners.com.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit MeeksCapital.com.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Back again here at the Crossman Conversation with U.S. Senator Rick Scott. One time, well, you know the story I always tell about you is that I had a goal that I wanted to develop a relationship with you, and I would always go up and I would always introduce myself. And then one time I was on stage with you and you were like, John, I know who you are. Like, stop introducing yourself. And so, but I was like, I don't know. He's an important guy.
I always introduce myself. I never know. Everybody knows who I am.
Well, we were in a small group and you had just got done doing a thing when you were governor. And I don't understand all the logistics of this. And we don't need to talk about it, but essentially you were, approving people's appeals or not. The weight of what you were saying, I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this guy needs prayer every day. And I got to imagine in your new job. Your current job's hard job. I mean, how can we pray for you? And people who even disagree with you, like how would like somebody on the other side of the political aisle, but they are a believer and they want to pray for you. How can people pray for you, Senator?
What I pray about is that God will give me wisdom, right? We've got to make me a good listener and then give me the courage to follow my convictions because I really do believe if we follow our convictions, right, good things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a lot to learn. We all have to be better listeners. But we also have to be just absolutely committed to our convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually believe that people have an interest in helping other people. So we just got to work with people every day and And, you know, I'm optimistic about the future. I'm optimistic about our country. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this is the best place for every kid in this country has a chance to dream, wherever, however you start.
I appreciate that. You know, I always tell my kids, like, you can focus on principles or you could focus on power. But if you focus on principles, you got to be okay with giving up some power, right? And sometimes people focus too much on power. Go ahead.
Yeah, John, I agree. Because if the goal is not that you have the power, the goal is that you get a good result.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and also, just so I say this, thank you for your support of HBCUs. You know, I'm in leadership roles at FAMU and Bethune-Cookman, and you've always been a guy that's been supportive. And when I say supportive, you've also given good counsel. And what you've always said to me is like, hey, John, make sure they're working operationally and running really well, right? And you've been very truthful about supporting, but also being healthily critical and encouraging on things that the colleges need to work on. So I appreciate your support and wisdom on that.
Well, our school, here's my goal for our schools. When you finish your education, all right, most people are going to do it to get a better job. Did it happen? Because the whole goal is people, you know, it's going to be your money or you borrow money or your family's money to send you there. And you've got to put in the time if you're the student. But in the end, success is that student in a position that their life is better. And that's what we ought to make sure, you know, whether it's HBCUs or whether it's one of our universities or state colleges, that's the goal. Are they in a position, a better position than when they started?
Well, my oldest daughter is going to be starting soon at Palm Beach Atlantic University. Mm-hmm. And I hope if you're down there visiting of your friends, you'll check on her, Senator. I'd appreciate that.
I will. That's a good school.
It's a
nice group of people. It's nice to visit the school. It's a good group of people. They have good professors, and the students are committed.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me ask this, Senator. I know you're super busy, and I don't want to take up more time. Is there anything else that myself, Mike, other residents of Florida could be doing that are supportive to you and the leadership in our country? Is there anything else we can be doing?
Give me your ideas. You can go to rickscott.senate.gov. Or I've got 9 offices in the state of Florida, an office in D.C. You can call us at 202-224-5274, 202-224-5274. I've got a plan to rescue the country. You can go to rescueamerica.com. Just give me your ideas. And get involved. Get involved in the political process, whatever you believe. Because if you get involved, you'll learn so much more. And we'll have better and better people and have unbelievably high expectations of the people that we elect in this country.
That is awesome. Well, I do want to wrap up. I want to say this to you because I want you to hear this. So FAMU College of Law, downtown Orlando, is the most diverse law school in America. And we have a relatively new dean. And they asked me for 2 years to be their head of their advisory board. And I'm neither black nor a lawyer, which I think that's an accomplishment, by the way. And so one of the things I did was for 1 year, I hosted lunches with me and the dean, and we invited community leaders in. And Senator, your office came and was so helpful, has been so involved. And when we recently had a big event, your team came and was there. And by the way, we invite everybody. Not everybody comes. Not everybody comes.
Yeah, I have a good team of people. I've been blessed.
You really are. And I just wanted to hear you, want you to know that they have been wonderful and supportive of our efforts in promoting education, particularly in Central Florida. So, Senator, thanks so much. Go ahead.
Here's one thing to think about. We have 9 offices in the state. Their job is to help people. So we do all sorts of things. We have immigration issues that people deal with. We have VA, Veterans Affairs issues, Veterans Benefit issues. We've got Medicaid issues. We've got all sorts of issues. That's our job. So call us or email us. And I have a wonderful group of people that want to help people. So if anybody has any needs, the biggest thing is tell us and we'll do everything we can. If we can't help you, we'll tell you we can't, and we'll try to refer you where somebody can. But if we can, we'll do everything we can to help you.
I am so grateful for that. And I just want to keep saying back to you, and I hope you'll do that with us. I hope you do it with us, me and myself and Mike, but other key people, whatever we can do to be helpful to all you're doing. And I want you to know that we're praying for you and we're grateful for your leadership. And I hope you'll just, you call or text us at any time we can do something that's helpful to you.
Well, thanks for the prayers and congratulations on your success.
Thank you, Senator. You take care. We'll be in close touch.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so that a huge thanks to Senator Rick Scott for being on the show. Really enjoyed that time. It was a good interview, Mike.
It was a wonderful interview you did, and people have to feel the warmth coming through. I've heard him a lot on different interviews, TV, radio, whatever. That's one of the warmest interviews I've ever heard with him. He's great.
Well, it's always nice when you can feel like you see a person as a human, right?
Yeah.
And that's a nice experience. And I thought that came through. And again, not that everybody has to agree with them, but a lot of good points, a lot of healthy points with that. So anyway, well, this has been the Crossman Conversation, and today with our special guest, U.S. Senator Rick Scott. And as always, support your local HBCU, just like Senator Scott does.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.